I brought you a message yesterday morning on the singing pilgrim. Psalm 119 and verse 54. David, the great prophet of God, the man of God, the king in Israel, said, "But thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." We saw yesterday morning that every man that God saves, he gives him a song. And there is possibility of losing that song. You cannot lose salvation, but you can lose the joy of salvation. You cannot lose God's indwelling spirit, but you can lose the presence of the spirit, the power of the spirit. When that's lost, there is a great loss. So this morning, we want to bring you a message on the lost song and how it may be recovered. In Psalms 137, we have the record of one of the reactions of the children of Israel when they were captured and carried into the Babylonian captivity. Here is one of the reactions. You remember there came a time when God allowed the great nation of Israel to be captured. They were captured and taken away from their homeland in Palestine and carried down to Babylon by the awful heathen powers of the Babylonians. And there's three great reactions to the children of Israel. I want to read those three great reactions and then talk to you today on the lost song and how it may be recovered. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28, you have the reactions of the prophet Daniel. Of course, he was a young man at the time, but here he is now, an old gray-headed prophet of God, about 90 years old. In Daniel 2:28, it said, "But there is a God in heaven." Daniel said, "I don't understand why that God allowed that great nation to be captured. Don't understand why God allowed the Chaldeans, the Babylonian army, to come into Jerusalem and capture that great nation. They did. They kicked over the tombstones, broke down the vineyards, and tore down the temple and carried the sacred vessels out of the temple to Babylon to drink wine in." Daniel said, "I don't understand it." But he said, "There is a God in heaven. That God in heaven will bring out all things in due time." Now, when adversity and trouble comes to you, there is a danger of losing your song unless you can get in the right spirit and have the right reaction. Then, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1 and verse 1, gives you the second reaction to that great Babylonian captivity. Listen to it. Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, there the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." Now there you have the second reaction. Here is Ezekiel, the great prophet of God, the great man of God. He's among the captives down by the river Chebar. But he said, "The heavens were open to me, and I saw visions of God." Now which way is Daniel, which way is Ezekiel looking? Which way is Daniel looking? Daniel is looking up, said, "But there is a God in heaven." Which way is Ezekiel looking? Ezekiel is looking up, said, "The heavens were open." You know, when God opens the heavens, it doesn't make any noise. They just open. And if you're looking in the right direction, you will have visions of God and see great vision. So Ezekiel said, "I was among the captives, as I'd done there with them." Another place in the book of Ezekiel, he says, "I sat where they sat." There he is among the captives, and the heavens were open to him, and he saw visions of God. That can be a reaction. Then in Psalm 137, verse 1 to 4, you have a third reaction by a part of the children of Israel. Listen to it. Sat by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion, when we remembered the beautiful homes we lived in, when we remembered the promised land, when we remembered the temple, how we used to hear the temple bells ring, how we used to go to the house of God, hear the great prophets of God preach, and hear the great songs of Zion. Said, when we sat down by the river of Babylon, there we wept. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Said, we're not going to sing anymore. We're going to quit. Now, what has happened? They have lost their song, hung up their harps in the willows thereof, said, we're not going to sing anymore. We're going to quit going to church. We're going to just sit down on the mourner's bench of despair. And when you do, you lose your song. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Greatest opportunity they ever had in all of their life was to sing to the heathen, sing to their enemies, sing to that heathen nation. They're in a strange land, and yet when you lose your song, you've got nothing to say to nobody. Can't pray, can't sing, can't shout, you can't praise God. Nothing left to do but to hang up your harps in the willows. Then in verse 4 they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Well, you cannot sing the Lord's song in a strange land unless you have the victory. All right? Now, as we bring the message on the lost song and how it may be recovered, I want you to listen to some questions that I'm going to ask. And I trust that if you're listening to me this morning, if you're one of the God's children, you used to be a singing pilgrim, but you've lost your song, you've lost your victory. Got no song, got no sparkle in your eye, got no praise upon your lips, and you've got no victory. You're a defeated soul, or you have lost your song. Well, you listen to me. This may be the very morning, the very morning, the very hour that God will take the prophet of God, take the message of God and speak to you, and you can recover your lost song and come back and shout the victory and the praises of God like you did in the days of your youth. Question number one, what happens when God saves a sinner? Well, when God saves a sinner, he gives that sinner seven things. Some of them you can lose and some you can't. But will you listen as I enumerate the seven things that God gives the sinner when he saves him? Be a good way to find out whether you're saved or not, and find out whether, well, I'm saved, but I have lost my soul. Then if you're saved, you can't be saved anymore. You can't be born again but one time. God never gives a man a birth but one time. The Holy Spirit comes in to dwell. He never comes in to leave. You cannot lose the indwelling Spirit, but you can lose the power of the Spirit, lose the presence of the Spirit, lose the freeness of the Spirit, and when you do, you have lost your song. All right? What are the things that God gives a man when he saves him? First, he gives him life. You were an alien, dead sinner. God saved you. He made you alive. Now you can never lose life. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thank God for that. You cannot lose your life. Second thing that God gives a sinner when he saves him, he gives him love. Now you can get cold and callous and indifferent and lose the love of God out of your heart. Do you love God like you used to? Do you love the Bible like you used to? Do you love your church like you used to? Do you love lost souls like you used to? Do you love your pastor like you used to? No, I don't, preacher. Well, you've lost your soul. Then there is the third thing that God gives a sinner when he saves him. He gives him peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by peace, we, by faith, we have peace with God. Now, you can lose the peace in the sense of victory. Of course, Christ is our peace. You can never lose the indwelling Christ. Never can lose the indwelling Spirit. But you can come to where you're a defeated soul. And in that sense, Christ is not really you like he used to be. And you can lose peace in that sense. That is the fourth thing that God gives a sinner when he saves him. God gives him power. Now, the Holy Ghost himself is the power of God. Let me repeat. You cannot lose the indwelling Spirit, but you can lose the freeness of the Spirit. You can lose the power of the Spirit. You can lose the presence of the Spirit. When you do, you have lost your soul. There is the next thing that God gives a sinner when he saves him, gives him purity. God takes your old, wicked, dilapidated heart that was a cesspool of iniquity, and God takes away all of that sin and filth, uncleanness from you, and gives you heart purity. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, I believe it is, said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, you cannot lose heart purity in that sense. But sin can defile you. Sin can pollute you. Sin can corrode you. And there's just one thing to do. When you get corroded with sin and get defiled, you are to get to the Lord. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins, forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, sin makes you unclean. Make you unclean in your flesh, unclean in your mind, unclean in your spirit, unclean in your heart, and unclean in your soul. But you were not that way when you saved. You're just as pure as the driven snow, just as pure as a baby when it's born. That is the next thing that God gives a sinner when he saves him. God gives him liberty. May I repeat? 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, for the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That is, where the Spirit is Lord, he gives liberty. That liberty can be lost. There is the seventh and final thing that God gives a man when he saves him. God gives him the song of the Lord. All that song that God put in your soul when he saved you. You remember back yonder when God saved you? You loved everybody. You had a song, and you sung your song. You were become a stranger in the land. You also become a singing pilgrim. And you started on a journey, but something has happened, and you lost your song. Maybe like the children of Israel, reverses have come, some of your loved ones have died, and a lot of things have happened. Trouble has come into the home, and you've lost your song. Now, thank God, that song can be recovered. 2 Chronicles 29:27 says, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began. See, when God saved you, you had an offering to offer to the Lord. That offering was Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, we are told that Christ is our altar. We have an altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began. Psalms chapter 40, verse 2 and 3, listen to David describing his past experience and his present experience. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. When God saves a man, he brings him up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You had no standing. You was in a pit. and in a pit of miry clay. And I set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Not only that. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. See, when God saves a man, he gives him all of these things. Now, you cannot lose your life, but you can lose love, get cold and leave your first love. You can lose peace in that sense, power and purity and liberty and the soul. See, when you lose your song, your defeated soul, no longer are you a singing pilgrim. You're a pilgrim. You're on a journey. You've got to go. But you do not have the victory. All right. Now, I want to ask question number two. What are the songs of Zion? Psalm 137, verse 3. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required us of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. See, there are many songs that we're going to enumerate in a minute. But they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. The answer of Israel back to the enemies was, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? When you're defeated, brother, you've got no song, got no victory, got no praise upon your lip, no sparkle in your eye, and no shout of victory because you have lost your song. All right. What are the songs of Zion? There are several songs of Zion that I want to give you, and I want you to hear me and to hear me well. First is the song of creation. That's one of the songs that the angels sang when they saw the great creation of God. When God created the sun, moon, and stars and created this earth, the angels evidently were created first. And they saw this great creation. They shouted glory to God and sang together. Listen. In the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together, and all of the sons of God shouted for joy. The stars sang. Well, they sang together in the sense of unity. All of the multiplicity of the stars in the heavens, they have a song. They're singing it now. And it's a song of unity. There is a multiplicity of stars in the heavens, bigger than our microscopes are, and our telescopes, just the more stars we find. When the morning stars sang together and all of the sons of God shouted for joy. Sons of God were no doubt the angels in the early beginning of God's mighty acts of God. There is the second song, and that's song of redemption. Now the angels cannot sing that song, for they've not been redeemed. But you can. You've been redeemed. You can sing that song, but you can lose that song. You can't lose the Redeemer. Can't lose your redemption, but you can lose your song. Psalms chapter 51, verse 12. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He knew he couldn't lose salvation. For Christ is our salvation. He cannot lose him. But he did know that he did lose the joy of salvation. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, is the song that the Israelites sang when they came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. Listen to it. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And they spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The children of Israel standing on the banks of the Red Sea. And they looked back and they saw the great walls of water coming together on Pharaoh and all of his army when they saw them all swallowed up in that mighty Gulf Stream, mighty Red Sea. Then they stood there and shouted glory to God and sang the song of redemption. They're out of Egypt. They're across the Red Sea. but they have a wilderness journey to face. They've got to cross Jordan, another crossing, and get into Canaan. That's something that majority of them never did experience. They said, "The Lord, he is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. He has chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea." Well, there is the song of redemption. Remember when you got saved, you began to sing as you sojourn, as a pilgrim, and you had the song of redemption and you sang it. Now, have you lost that song? Oh, thank God that song can be recovered. I'll tell you how before we are finished. There is the third song of Zion, that songs in the night. Did you ever wake up way in the night when everything's quiet and clear? Something began to well up in your soul and you started singing songs in the night. In the book of Job, chapter 35 and verse 10, "But none said, where is the God my maker, who gave us songs in the night?" That wonderful? While the stars are shining, moon is shining, the sun is hid, wee hours of midnight, you wake up with the joy of the Lord in your soul and songs in the night. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we have an example and an illustration of that. Listen to it. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Here's Paul and Silas. Now, suppose they'd lost their song. Here they are in an old, dirty, nasty, stinking jail at midnight, the very time that they ought to have a song, and they did have it. Now, you may be in some kind of adversity. Trouble may be on you. Circumstances may be overwhelming you. But, my dear soul, listen. That's the very time you ought to sing. If you only knew that God is sovereign, that nothing can happen to you if God permits it, then if that's so, why lose your song? Everything that happened to you is for God's glory and your good, if you only knew it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know..." No guess, so maybe so. "And we know that all things work together good to them that love God, to them according to them who are saved according to his purpose, to them who he has called according to his purpose." Here's Paul and Silas at midnight. They got songs in the night. "And the prisoners heard them." They said, "Now that's not the song of the drunkard." Those men put in here, Paul and Silas, they were not drunk. But they looked peculiar, yes, they were peculiar. They had a song at midnight. The darkest part of the night is when they began to sing. You see, when trouble comes, and it will, when adversity comes, and it may, you may go bankrupt, lose everything you've got, you may bury your dearest friend, you go back home. Thank God that they live, that they were your friends, they still are. They're in heaven, making up a part of the church of the firstborn, which is in the heaven, began to sing. Now is the next song of Zion. That's the unsung song of the captive. Now, Psalm 137, verse 3 and 4. Here they were asked to sing, but they couldn't sing. They didn't sing. Now, I wonder what that song would have been. We don't know. We may never know. But are you listening? God will give you a song right in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your trouble. God will give you a song. And if you'll sing it, that song is recorded. But this song is not recorded. The song of the unsung song of the captive. They'd give themselves to God. The Holy Ghost would have moved upon them. And they'd have started singing. And God would have recorded that song. "For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us money, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Sing us one. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They've hung up their harps. They're on the mourner's bench of despair. We're going to quit God. We're not going to sing no more. Well, I don't understand why many things come to you. I've had sorrows. I've had trouble. God knows plenty of them. But in the midst of all of it, I stayed with God. I didn't backslide. I didn't lose my song. But I must confess there's been times when that song is a little weak. But there's always a song in my heart. Next song of Zion is singing unto the Holy Ghost. You know God wants you to sing unto the Holy Ghost. Not singing in the Spirit. It'll be in the Spirit. But singing to the Holy Ghost. Numbers chapter 21, verse 17. Then Israel sang this song. Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. They had the song, but they lost it. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 16. We heard songs, even glory to the righteous. There is the saints of God during the great tribulation. If you study that chapter carefully, people saved after the church has been removed, they've got a song, and they sing all the way through that great tribulation. We heard songs, plural, no doubt, all of these songs they sung, even glory to the righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and in verse 15, I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Paul, in all of his trouble, whether in jail or out of jail, whatever his trouble was, he had a song and he sung it. I come to mention the last one of the songs of Zion, and that's the song of the redeemed in heaven. Did it ever occur to you that one of these days the Lord's coming back? And the dead will be raised up out of their graves, and we which are alive will be raised up and translated, transmigrated, and transformed, and will meet the Lord in the air. Oh, what singing! Such singing, my dear soul! Well, wouldn't you hate to be translated right at the time when you lost your song? Oh, listen. Listen. Don't lose your song. Stay with the Lord. He'll give you a song. Then in that great innumerable host that'll be meeting the Lord in the sky, we're going to sing the song of the redeemed in heaven. Listen to it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Here they are. Got the harps. What else? And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And they sing the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. As the song of the redeemed in heaven. Now, have you lost your song? If you have, you are a defeated soul. You don't have the liberty of the Spirit. Don't have the power of God. Don't have the liberty of the Holy Ghost. You don't have a sparkle in your eye. Don't have a praise on your lip. And you don't have joy in your soul. You have lost your song. I must ask another question. Question number 3. How did the children of Israel lose their song? Well, they lost it just like you lost it. Remember, in the Old Testament, God brought 7 indictments against the children of Israel. So that's why you lost your song and how you lost it. I haven't time to discuss at length these 7 indictments that God brought against the children of Israel. But you have this message. You can listen to these 7 and figure out what one of them caused you to lose your song. Even just one of them will cause you to lose your song. But the children of Israel lost, they committed all seven of these sins. I'm going to repeat them without discussion. First, they rebelled against God. Oh, what a sin. Second, they vexed God's Holy Spirit. Oh, what a sin. Third, they mocked the messengers of God. What a sin. Fourth, they despised the words of God. What a sin. Fifth, they misused the prophets of God. What a sin. Sixth, they resisted the Holy Ghost. Oh, listen. The Holy Ghost would give you a song. But if you resist the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you, won't be long till you lose the presence of God, the power of God, the liberty of God's Spirit, that song in your heart, that sparkle in your eye and the praise upon your lip. You're going to lose. Here is the seventh indictment that God brought against the children of Israel. They despise the promised land. Now, are you guilty of any of these seven? So now where are these found? 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 to 21. He enumerates all seven of these terrible indictments. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7 to 10. I'm giving you these chapters. Make a notation of it. Then you read them, and you'll find that all seven, these indictments, are brought against the children of Israel. Well, you say it didn't say anything about despising the promised land. No, but it did in one of the Psalms. Psalms 106, verse 24 and 25. Listen to it. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. There you have it. And they lost their song. But isn't it good of God? Oh, a good God. Listen, there's nothing little about God. God's easy to live with. God isn't hard to live with. The devil is. Devil is hard to live with, but God is easy to live with. Now why? Well, God will forgive you and the devil won't. That's why. All right. I'm coming now to question number four. What happened when the children of Israel lost their song? There's six outstanding things that happened to the children of Israel when they lost their song. And if you can't be recovered and brought back to your song, then the Lord may take you to heaven by the way of the graveyard. Here are the six. Here again, I haven't time to discuss all six of them. But you listen to them. First thing that happened when they lost their song, they were captured. Second thing that happened was they were defeated. And third, they were confused. See, you may be confused right now. You're wondering, well, that old man Caldwell, is he a prophet of God or a false prophet? Well, you don't know. You may never know till you get to heaven, but you could know. If you had a song, you're in the same spirit I'm in, and in the same school I'm in, have the same teacher I've got, have the same textbook I've got, and that's the Bible. You could understand and know what I'm saying. There is the fourth thing that happened to the children of Israel when they lost their song. They were embittered. Here they are, embittered, cussing out the president, cussing out Congress and Senate, cussing out everybody, cussing out the preacher, cussing out the church. Listen, you have lost your song. You better get to God. You've lost it. And the fifth thing happened to the children of Israel when they lost their song. They were cold and frigid. Cold as a toad frog at the North Pole under a ton of ice. But I come to mention the last and final thing that happened to Israel when they lost their song. And this is the worst thing that could happen. They were overthrown in the wilderness. You go back and chase out and run out the children of Israel, and you can trace them by the graveyards. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 6, listen to it. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock, of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, don't you see? But here comes a but. Listen to it. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. I enumerated the seven indictments, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, if God can't recover you and bring you back and give you your soul, he's just going to put your body in the ground and take you to heaven. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. All right, I'm coming now to question number 6. What is God's message to a Christian who has lost his song? I'm ready now to bring you back to the God of your youth, back to the salvation you once rejoiced in, back to the Spirit of God, where you had the power of God, the presence of God, the joy of God, and the peace of God. But it's gone, preacher. Oh, I'd like to have my song restored. Well, thank God it can be restored. But here is the message. Here is the message that God sent to you. If you run out the Old Testament and the New, you'll find that the prophets of God had a great message to the Lord's people who had lost their song. What is that message? First, it's a message of faith. You started out with faith. You've got to come back to faith. God demands that you believe him, that you walk by faith, and if you don't, you have had it. Second, it's a message of return. In the book of Malachi, God said to Israel, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." Then it's a message of repentance. Oh, how you need to repent. God's a good God. Don't get embittered against God. Don't find fault with the Bible. Don't find fault with the prophets of God. Don't find fault with the people of God. The fault is with you. You've lost your song. You've lost your joy. You've lost your victory. And you need to get back to God. It's a message of repentance. Not only that, but it's a message of tenderness. You know God is tender with his children, just as tender as he can be. And if the goodness of God don't break your heart, God will have to take you to heaven. Listen to me now. Message of tenderness. Not only that, but it's a message of forgiveness. God said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, see, it's all on you. God's put away your sin by the death of Christ. That's already settled 2,000 years ago. Now, as a believer, if you sin, and that's where you lose your song by sinning, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When he forgives you of your sin, cleanses you, then the song of the Lord will begin. Not only that, but it's a message of a father's love. God loves you, my dear child, and he wants you to have the victory, and he doesn't want you to take the wrong road out. You don't know which road to take. You come to the Lord. He is your road. He is your way out. Not only that, but he said, I urge you to return from the far country. Have you lost your song in a far country? Have you left your first love? God urges you to return. You will receive from God no rebuke and no scolding. Remember in Luke chapter 15, when the prodigal son came back home, God didn't rebuke him. God didn't scold him. What did he do? Bible tells you that he saw the son afar off and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's tenderness. That's return. That's repentance. That's tenderness. That's forgiveness. That is a father's love. The father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Then he clothed him and brought him back into the house. Hosea chapter 14, verse 47 gives you all that I've said. Listen to it. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as dew unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily, and cast forth his root as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as an olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon, they that dwell under his shadow shall return, they shall revive as corn, and grow as vine. The center of shall be a wine of Lebanon. Well, let me close the message by asking another question, then asking some questions under that question. There it is. What shall we say in conclusion? You know, I try to have an introduction to every sermon, like a porch to a house, it gets you in the house. Then I like to have a conclusion, let you know I'm going to stop, let you know that we're coming to an end. I've ridden a lot of airplanes, and they always let you know they're going to get ready to land, tell you we're fixing to land at an airport and where it is, buckle in your belts. So I'm telling you now, get ready, we're going to land. Buckle in your belts. Closing out this journey. Question number one. Are you a singing Christian? Question number two. Have you lost your song? Question number three. Is the call of God upon your soul? I'm so happy that that song can be restored. You can be restored. And God can once use you again. Listen. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 is a verse I gave you yesterday. We repeat it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began. When you come back to the Lord, you'll find your song right there. Job chapter 35, verse 10, he gave us songs in the night. Then in Psalms chapter 40, verse 1 to 3, I read a portion of them yesterday, read a portion of them this morning. Let's look at them again. Listen. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. But you see, when you've lost your song, nobody's going to hear anything you say. Nobody's going to see any sparkle in your eye. Nobody's going to hear praise upon your lip. My child, listen to me. Have you lost your song? God wants you to return to him. He'll meet you, he'll be tender, he'll restore you. And when the burnt offering began, that's the Lord. He is our altar, he's our sacrifice. When you come to him, surrender to completely to him, then the song of the Lord will begin. God bless you, and goodbye is the message from the prophet of God this morning.